The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Rise and shine with SportsCenter live at 7 a.m. Eastern. Everything you need to know from breakout performances to breaking news and analysis. You'll get it on the 7 a.m. SportsCenter live 7 days a week. The only way to start your sports day.
Today we keep on bowling with four more games on ESPN in the app, but we're featuring these three. Our first game is 11:30 a.m. Eastern with North Carolina squaring off against South Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Then Tennessee takes on Purdue in the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl. And at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, Wisconsin battles Arizona State in the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. And thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny, and look who we got here, Diana, Bart, and we say good morning to you. We got a lot of football. It is time to get up, as we always say, and we're getting up with the Cowboy Crunch time. Micah Parsons putting the D back in Dallas and feeling confident. Is it enough to topple Kyler's Cardinals on Sunday? And Aaron Rodgers speaks again about his future, but what is he really saying? We decode the beautiful mystery that is his future in Green Bay and why it may not take too long to solve. And all Cincinnati needs to do is pull off a huge upset to stop Alabama's latest Heisman winner. How tall of an order is that? We're going to tell you as we get into college football. But first, we go to the pro game because week 17 is days away. The playoff implications are everywhere. In Cincinnati, the Chiefs can clinch the one seed with in the AFC with a win and a Titans loss, while the Bengals can win the AFC North with a win. The Colts host the Raiders, and with a win, they'll have consecutive playoff appearances for the first time since 2012 and 2014. Now, a Raiders loss drops them to an 8% chance to make the playoffs per FPI. The Cowboys host the Cards, both of whom are already in. Dallas would have a 26% chance at the one seed with a win. Here's Micah Parsons talking about facing Kyler.
The cheetah's the fastest animal, but, I mean, a lion doesn't just go by himself. It's a lot of lions and lionesses. So, I mean, if you got a pack of lions, then I like the lion over the cheetah any day of the week.
Okay, so just for perspective, he's referring to himself as a lion.
Yeah, and his defense is
a
lion.
Pack of lions.
And he's a cheetah. He's fast.
Kyler Murray is the cheetah.
But Kyler's more like a –
who's the lion?
He's a little stocky. He's not little like that.
who's the lion?
Well, the lionesses don't go out – oh, yeah, the women hunt.
So all I can say is when you're that good as a rookie, you can talk like
what
that.
What are we doing?
Exactly. So, Lewis, this defense, they got confidence. They got a cocky rookie who is one of the best in the game right now. Can this defense carry them not just far in the playoffs, but to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it can, Ryan, because look, I think they play on that side of the ball. If you want to talk about complementary within an individual unit, they play a nice brand of complementary football on the defensive side, meaning front and coverage go together. They feast off of each other. They play off of one another. We know that disruption is really what leads to production on defense, and especially up front. They're very disruptive up front. And look, Trayvon Diggs, there's no question the people in the back end, they benefit from that because you're having quarterbacks who are right now bringing their eyes down, wondering where the rush is coming from. Balls are getting batted. Balls are coming out too fast. Errant throws are happening. Tips and overthrows are presenting themselves. Trayvon has feasted off of that thing. The whole defense has feasted off of one another. So I think that is the kind of defense that ultimately winds up carrying football teams if they need to and gets teams to Super Bowls and gives them a chance to win is when they know that the front end and the back end are married together. And this team right now, coordinated by Dan Quinn, is as good as any at playing that style, that brand of football.
How far has this defense come based on where they were last year? And we were talking about them like they were the worst in the league, and they, frankly, they were. What do you think? Can they carry them to the Super Bowl?
Once again, Lewis, at the beginning of the season, I said the easiest thing to fix is defense because it's about execution. It's about tenacity and speed. And this Dallas defense has tremendous speed, and they have guys that can win the one-on-one battles. And Parsons has been one of the best rookies on the defensive side of football that we've seen in a long time. You know, but I don't think they can't make that mistake of thinking that Diggs is like some Revis Island thing, because he is a gambler, right? So you have to make sure that everything is tied in, but you have to be strategic in when you're going with your one-on-ones. It's going to be interesting against this Cardinals offense. If Kyler Murray can buy time with his legs, can they continue to plaster downfield, and are they going to get slowed down? I want to see a team make Michael Parsons the center of attention and make a game plan to run the ball at him and make him have to handle the physical game, because if you run away from him, he's too athletic and too gifted to be able to run away from. He'll make plays from behind all day.
So you want to see more from this team in this game this weekend and see how this defense really performs.
I guess an outfit that can be multiple.
Woody, what do you think about this defense, and what will this weekend's matchup against the Cardinals tell you about their ability to carry the Cowboys all the way to the promised land?
Well, listen, when I watch the Cowboys defense, the first thing that jumps out is the speed. The speed that, at which they play at on defense, it just really smothers an offense. And when you're talking about, you know, all the different pass rushers that they have on that side of the ball, you know, the Randy Gregorys, DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons, man, it's almost like pick your poison. Who are you going to take away? Because you can't take away all of them, and someone's going to get free. And we know that rush and cover, you know, they're intertwined together, and that's what makes, you know, really good defenses. So, you know, when I look at them against the Arizona Cardinals, I think obviously objective number one is to keep Kyler Murray contained, because Bart pointed out, you know, Kyler Murray is the type of guy, he gets outside the pocket. He's, you know, one of the most accurate downfield passers there is in the National Football League. Keeping him contained with those athletes is going to be job number one, and they have the speed to keep up with Kyler Murray on that side of the ball.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think speed is going to be a gigantic factor. But, you know, we see a lot of times during the NFL season, head coaches get rid of coordinators, right? We saw the Giants do. We saw the Panthers do it on the offensive side of the ball. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Mike McCarthy for moving on from Mike Nolan and bringing Dan Quinn in here, who's absolutely transformed this defense. I can't remember the last time I've seen a coordinator come in and make such a significant difference. And yes, look, he's got the players. He does. This roster and any DC in the league right now would be salivating over a defense that looks like this Cowboys team. But to be able to make that switch, recognize that there is an issue here in the play calling, and help and find Dan Quinn and believe in Dan Quinn, who didn't end his time in Atlanta very well, to be able to do that, and him to have this sort of resurgence now as we're hearing Dan Quinn's name getting passed around here for head coaching candidate opportunities after just one season with Dallas making these improvements.
Yeah, it was never about talent in Dallas. It was about scheme. I played underneath that Mike Nolan system. You have to have high football acumen, and they just didn't have the players that can understand the checks and all those things that you would have to have. This is simplified football, which allows them to show their talent. They've always had Randy Gregory and Lawrence out there. Even before Parson came, you think about Smith and you think about Van Der Esch.
Yeah.
They had the personnel. Bringing in Keanu Neal as a modern day, you know, linebacker allows somebody, people to play in space. Now here, just allowing them to be able to do what they do well.
And players have always said to me that Dan Quinn's best strength is teaching, and that's what we're seeing.
Well, he is teaching them well, and by the way, you know who's getting taught really well? Those guys up there in Green Bay, the Packers. They're doing great. They hold the all-important top seed in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's on his way to back-to-back MVP awards. So let's talk about Aaron, shall we? Yesterday, he commented on his future, including the option of retirement after the season.
I wouldn't rule that out. You know, I think that I'm just enjoying this season for this season. And I think there's playing next year will definitely be in the thought process. If this year has stopped me anything, it's that, you know, I still can play. I still have a love for the game. I'm still super competitive and still enjoy the process of the week. You know, there'll be a lot of things that'll weigh in the off season. Saying that doesn't mean, or any of the comments I've made doesn't mean I'm thinking about elsewhere. I do want to clarify that. So I'm just savoring this year, I think, as much as anything. And I don't want to, it won't be something where I'll drag it out for months and months.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm thinking about playing elsewhere, but I am talking about the fact that I might play elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Diana, what are you hearing from around the league about him?
The tea leaves, right? We're all doing, trying to figure it out. And you know, look, you talk to people around the league, you talk to GMs, head coaches, other players trying to figure out what is Aaron Rodgers going to do. And look, there are some people out there that think that Aaron is going to try to make his way out of Green Bay, try to get the Green Bay Packers to trade him. There's some that think that if he wins a Super Bowl, he could stay, that maybe fix all the issues. He has said that his relationship with the GM has improved. And then, of course, probably the bigger thing that hangs over this is, where does Aaron want to go? Because you look at the pieces of the Green Bay Packers team, he's got it all. It may not be better. The grass may not be greener on the other side if you leave Green Bay. It just may be a little warmer.
So, Bart, do you believe, though, that he's going to make a quick decision here? I mean, that's the only – of everything I heard him say, that's the one thing he seemed to say definitively. I'm not going to drag it out. However, he's been dragging it out all offseason. So this time he's going to make a quick decision.
We've all been disrespected at some point in our career, and we've already made our mind up. And I think before this season even started, Aaron Rodgers had already made his mind up. That's why he strategically had the negotiations where they made the necessary changes in his contract so that he can make sure that he can leave. So I think that it'll be a quick decision because it's already been made. And I think even winning a championship in Green Bay, to me, would be the perfect way to walk away, right? Saying, hey, I gave you everything I needed to do. I won two titles here, which makes you forget all about Brett Favre and, you know, that conversation. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers anywhere is going to make that team a Super Bowl contender. If he goes down to New Orleans, they're a Super Bowl contender. If he goes to Denver, it's a Super Bowl contender. It's about where he wants to be, what challenges he wants to face in his life. Whenever you've been there for a long time, sometimes you just want to change the scenery, and I think that he wants to go and have a different challenge.
Damian Woody, here's what I always wonder with Aaron Rodgers. I respect his right to make a choice. I respect his right to speak to the media often about this, but I always wonder, if I'm in that locker room, my fortunes are tied in some ways to Aaron Rodgers. My focus is on winning the Super Bowl. But every week the conversation is about my quarterback because that quarterback is coming out and speaking about himself. What does that do to the locker room? And I know players like to focus on the game. I get that part. But it's like, could you live without this kind of thing if you're in that locker room?
Ryan, I think we make a little bit too much of that. I mean, I know me as a player, if I didn't want to talk about something, I didn't talk about it. I'm going to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think that's what guys in the locker room are, you know, going to do. They're not going to get distracted by what Aaron Rodgers said on Pat McAfee's show. They're just going to say, you know what, I'm focused on who our next opponent is. And it's really that simple. So, you know, of course, we in the media love to talk about it because that's what drives the news. But, you know, as players and Barton Lewis knows this, you know, you're going to talk – the main thing is going to stay the main thing. Guys are programmed and focused that way, and they're not going to get distracted about, you know, things that Aaron Rodgers says, you know, on being guests on a podcast.
Lewis, real quick, from a front office perspective, at this point, Aaron Rodgers is your team. What are you doing to keep him? What are you doing with that kind of stuff that he's saying in the media at this point?
You know, right now, Ryan, honestly, I'm not doing anything. I'm just kind of over it. You know, I'll think about it and deal with it once the season is over. Look, it's hard once you get into the playoffs. It's hard to win. It's hard to stay focused. It's hard to, you know, everyone's going to give you their best shot then. Everyone then, we all know it's sudden death. And teams play different. Players prepare different. Players hit different. Players dial in differently at that time of year because you know when you lose, when you go back to the facility, they're packing your stuff up. And the game is over. And then you're watching from that point on. So I think from a front office perspective, you kind of get dialed in the same way. You're not sitting there going, well, what are we going to do once the season is over? And what is going to be the situation with Aaron? And how are we going to address it going forward? No, everything, every minute is about winning the next game because you know what the consequences are if you don't. And I'll tell you this. Look, if I was in the locker room, yeah, I think as professionals, you'd still want to just handle your business. And you can shut down outside conversation and outside noise. But I would tell you this, I would kind of get tired of having to always hear about whether or not he's going to be on our football team next year when we've already been bounced out of the playoffs in two consecutive years with teams that we thought could go all the way and make it to the Super Bowl. I would not want to be dealing with that again at this point in time, considering that they have a pretty darn good team that can challenge for the Super Bowl. I wouldn't want to hear it anymore.
I agree. I want my focus to be on this, and maybe that's what they're doing in that locker room. Just focus on the next game, focus on winning. Now, speaking of focusing on winning, all eyes this weekend
on the quarterbacks, Bryce Young, Desmond Ridder in the Cotton Bowl, but a position battle might steal the show. We're going to explain that when we come back on Get Up. And the good news for Ravens fans is Lamar Jackson was on the practice field yesterday. The bad news, they watched that video of him limping around. How effective can he be against the Rams if he plays? We'll talk about that.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's talk some college football and focus on the Cotton Bowl, where Alabama meets Cincinnati tomorrow. Now, Bama looks to repeat as champions, and Cincinnati is making their first ever playoff appearance. Bryce Young has completed 35%, has a 35% completion percentage on passes thrown 20-plus yards downfield, which ranks 84th among 124 qualified QBs. Now, the Bearcats, on the other hand, they've allowed just 17% completion percentage on such passes. That is the best in the FBS. Now, let's bring in Joey Galloway with more from the Cotton Bowl for this matchup. And we highlight that because it's a really important part of this matchup. Now, Joey, Alabama lost John Michi to injury a few weeks ago. Now they face that Cincinnati strong secondary. Is this cause for concern for Bama?
Anytime you lose a guy like John Michi, it's a concern. But anytime you're Alabama, you have other guys like Jameson Williams and other receivers to come off of that bench that will be fine playmakers. You've seen it all season long. We see it every season with Alabama. They suffer injuries at this time of year. Jalen Waddle was a guy that didn't play in their last championship game, and they were absolutely fine. There is no such thing as a good pass, a good corners, unless you got a good pass rush. So the corners on the back end for Cincinnati might be the best two in the country, and Gardner and Bryant. But the key is you got to get at Bryce Young. That's where it starts for Cincinnati. It starts up front. If they can get at Bryce Young, then they'll have a chance to stay in this game. If they let him have time in the pocket, it could be trouble for the Cincinnati defense. We've seen it against Auburn, we've seen it against Texas A&M, LSU, where they were able to get in the backfield and disrupt Bryce Young in that Alabama offense, and they had a chance late in the game. If Cincinnati can do that up front, they'll have a chance to beat Alabama.
Okay, that'll be key. So many of our experts talking about how Cincinnati's cornerbacks are NFL caliber, or at least on the NFL radar. Now, Alabama remains 13.5-point favorites. How would Cincinnati pull off the upset?
Well, a lot of things that go their way, obviously. But they've done it all season long. They haven't gotten caught up in the moment. They haven't been willing to talk about the what ifs and the respect they're getting and should they be in the playoff or not. I think Luke Fickell has done a terrific job of keeping that team focused. A lot of seniors on that team, a lot of veterans on that team. They're focused. They got to go out and do their job, do whatever they do. Desmond Ridder has played his best football in their biggest games, hasn't turned the ball over in their games against Notre Dame or SMU or the American Championship game against Houston, has no turnovers, no interception. I think that's the key. You can't give the ball away. And I believe in their ability to run the football with Jerome Ford. If they can do that, slow down this game, keep it in maybe the mid-20s, Cincinnati will have a chance late in this game.
Okay, a lot of ifs, but when it comes to the college football playoff, you never know. That's the great part about it, Joey. We'll see you in a couple minutes talk more about the college game. But first, let's turn it back to the NFL because Lamar Jackson, we really need to talk about him and the Ravens. Yesterday, their superstar quarterback returned to the practice field, but you see that limp? It's pronounced. That might be an understatement. Here's what John Harbaugh had to say about his QB1.
I'm really hopeful. I mean, I told you, like I said last week, I'm hopeful for all of our quarterbacks. Of course, you know, starting with Lamar, he's a starting quarterback. He's our guy. And I really want to see him out there on Sunday. I know the fans do. I know most of all Lamar does. So he's going to do everything he can to be out there. And, you know, you can't make a promise because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
You know, hope is one thing, reality is another. Yeah. What are you hearing in terms of his status for Sunday?
Yeah, coach has done a really good job the last now 3 weeks of gamesmanship, right? Try to keeping this competitive by not letting anyone know about Lamar. But the fact that he's on the field is such a good sign. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been out on the practice field in 2 weeks. Even though we were talking that maybe he could possibly have played in that game last week, look at this limp. He does not look good. It's going to take a lot for him to play on Sunday, just based on what we're seeing on this video. Look, John said it best. He's going to do everything he can. Lamar's going to do everything he possibly can to get out on the field. But the good news for them, their backup, Tyler Huntley, he is coming off the COVID-19 list, so he will be available to start if Lamar can't go, Ryan.
Okay, so Bart, I know you're a big fan. Look at him. He's already smiling. But look, do they have a chance if he is in less than 80, 90%?
I mean, Diana hit the nail on the head, right? They still have Huntley, and we've seen him play at a high level. We see them take the Green Bay Packers to the wire.
You think they can win with Huntley?
They can win with Huntley. Listen, weird things happen in that stadium. I'm telling you, that team is – when you have a kicker that when you get it within 55 yards, you know, you got guaranteed 3 points, you always have an opportunity. You know, that defense is tough. But, you know, we saw Matthew Stafford throw 3 interceptions last week. So he's a very streaky player as well. You always talk about a West Coast team coming over to the East Coast. You know, so I think that the Ravens are always a live dog. Is it likely or probable that they'll win? No. But can they win? Absolutely. They have enough weapons in their coach. And it's in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It's about the culture. And the culture is the next man comes up. It's weird stuff that happens when you have a culture. And the Ravens have that. And listen, take them to the back in Varsity Blues. Shoot the leg up. We don't want to hear that stuff. Come on, like, listen. Medicine is amazing. We've all been there. Woody has shot it up. I've seen it.
That's the tagline for today's show. Medicine is amazing. Damian Woody, here's the thing. You mentioned this before the show. This Ravens team picked the wrong time to play these Rams. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I think the Los Angeles Rams are, you know, they're peaking at the right time. And, you know, Bart brings up a good point where as far as Matthew Stafford is concerned, sometimes he has those head-scratching plays. But I think, you know, games are about matchups. And when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, particularly on the defensive side of the football in their secondary, they are absolutely decimated. They're playing with a bunch of practice squad-type guys back there. And you're going up against Cooper Kupp, who's having a historic season at the wide receiver position. You know, Van Jefferson, Odell Beckham Jr., who's been playing some really good ball, you know, coming over in that trade. I just don't like the matchup at all in this one. It's going to be – the Baltimore Ravens will be hard-pressed to win this ball game.
So, Lewis, I turn to you. Do you think they win this game, whether Lamar plays or not?
No, I don't. And, look, I just think that the Rams right now – they understand what's at stake here. I think Matthew Stafford understands what's at stake here. I think they have found their identity offensively in terms of, like, bringing this thing in a little bit more and not spreading things out and being such a pass-happy football team. That's not Sean McVay's DNA. He's gotten back, you know, to what was his original DNA when he was hired in L.A., which is the power running game, the zone blocking running game, the play action passing game, and then, you know, turning it into a drop back game when necessary. And defensively, look, the team's loaded. They've got everybody they need. They understand what's at stake here. There's no way they should lose this football game. If they do, then it's clearly, I think, because of underperformance on their part, not because the Ravens have better personnel, because they don't. They just flat out don't.
And underperformance at this point with a team trying to make the Super Bowl is not going to be stood for well in Los Angeles. We'll see how that ends up playing out. Now, back to the college game when we come back. Many things have to happen for Cincinnati to beat Alabama tomorrow. Number one is stopping Bryce Young. How do the Bearcats do it? You'll find out.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You are watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings. And here's today's DraftKings question. Will Dak Prescott throw 3 touchdown passes against the Cardinals? DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday, only new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. Let's do some more or less, shall we? Starting with that question about Dak. Damian Woody, Dak, 3 passing touchdowns against the Cardinals, more or less.
Ryan, I'm going to go with more. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, when you have a game like you had against the Washington football team, you know, it can spark you to lead to things down the road here. And I think Dak, with his full complement of weapons on offense, I think he's found a groove. And I just look at this Arizona Cardinals team. They're in a free fall right now, kind of collapsing down the stretch. I think Dak Prescott goes out and has another big game against a big-time opponent in the NFC.
Wow, 2 straight big games for Dak. That'll be interesting. Lewis, Patrick Mahomes, 2 touchdowns against the Bengals, more or less.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more. You can never go less than 2 touchdowns with Patrick Mahomes, man. Look, they have found what works for them. And it's not always just the long ball. Sometimes it's the catch and run ball. Maybe it's just throwing the ball out of the backfield of Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Williams. And I do think that Tyreek Hill now will start to find his groove. Hopefully Travis Kelce will be ready to go. But they have found, you know, Byron Pringle has looked very good, too. And look, I think this football team is hitting on all cylinders. Of course, he'll throw more than 2. Of course.
All right, Bart Scott, Joe Burrow, 2 touchdowns against the Chiefs, more or less.
I'm going to go two. He got a lot of talent out there.
God.
Got a little swag going on right now.
That's a push.
Yeah, I'll give him two. I think I give him a push with that
one. So salty.
Okay, well.
So salty.
Bart, you know.
I'm salty as a salty team.
Look, I hate to bring this back up. I hate to do it, man. But look, Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards against your Ravens last week. And he was asked about it yesterday. Now, take a listen to what he said.
When you watched the tape of that, of the game on Sunday, the 525, was there anything that struck you like yesterday or, you know, on Monday when you were looking at the tape that, that surprised you that you didn't realize until you watched it?
No, I think we all knew what happened on the field.
Awesome.
The smirk is a thing of beauty. Now, Bart, I hear you want to get something off your chest about Burrow's big game against your Ravens. You have the floor.
Oh,
but listen, this dude beat Shane Falco and the replacement players, first of all. This dude wasn't playing against the Baltimore Ravens. And listen, I've seen his movie before, right? I've seen Carson Palmer come in, and they had a couple of things, success. But listen, it's a culture in Baltimore. And listen, the last thing you ever want to do is poke the bear. Okay, you were the team that, you know, nobody had expectations for. You won a game, and you beat them twice. Congratulations. You know what you've won for your wins? You won a lifetime career ass kicking from the Baltimore Ravens going forward. Because guess what? Our rival is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And listen, it's a way we go about it. Zach Taylor, you're involved in this too, right? You want to sit up here and you want to run the score up. You won't get the benefit of the doubt.
Run
and listen,
the
I guarantee
up.
You, it's called red dot. And every Raven, a former Raven, understand what the red dot means. And you can be swagged out. You ain't no tough guys, but you will not get the benefit of the doubt. I guarantee you, he will not last long in this division. They're going to make sure they become headhunters. Whenever they go against him, he going to get the rib shot. He going to get the neck shot. He going to get the tackle with his arms. Make his head bust off a ground shot. He getting all that because you want to add a little smug on your face. Whatever, Macaulay Culkin.
Thank you, Lewis.
But you're not playing anymore.
It don't matter.
You're not playing anymore, Bart. It's a culture. It don't team no more.
It's a culture. They still got killers. In Cincinnati, they got nice athletes. They ain't got no killers. They ain't got no killers over there.
Bart, you guys were good. Hey, you guys were good back in the day. There's no question about that, but you ain't playing.
Listen, the order's been sent.
Burrow is running through them Ravens.
The order has been sent.
What order?
Listen, the order.
The order. Okay. Nobody to carry him out.
The code
okay.
red has been sent down.
We call it red dot in Baltimore, and it's on him, and it's going to be on him for the rest of his career. He's going to regret he ever did that. Hey. Zach Taylor, you're going to be involved with it, too, because we're going to get his ass fired in four years.
Whatever.
All right.
Hey, Lou.
All right,
hey, Lou,
know what it's about.
This is why they call him the mad backer.
Can we cue Bruce Springsteen Glory Days?
No, it ain't no Glory Days. The Ravens always win. What if the Ravens not good? They always good.
Okay, let me take Bart's
side. They're the ones you talked first. Wink was the one who said what he said,
You know,
he made him pay.
Okay, you know what we did?
You need to take your varsity jacket off, Bart.
Lou, you know what we do to quarterbacks like that? We tackle their arms. Because if I tackle both of your arms, you can't stop your head from bouncing off the ground when I take you to the ground. He going to be getting an arm tackle. He going to get his arms tackled.
Bart, I love
you,
man.
Why are they doing that to me?
I love you, Bart.
Just sign him.
I love you,
Bart. I'll tell you. He's still ready to play, everybody. Don't worry. Sign him up right now. He's available for the playoffs.
Red.
I love you, Bart.
I thought I lived in my glory.
Damian Woody, though.
Oh, my God.
Damian Woody, let me bring you in on this, though. I think I appreciate the fact that Joe Burrow has a little bit of cockiness in him right now. He's playing great. He looks great. Where are you seeing him amongst the quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
I think right now, the way Joe Burrow's playing, he's probably a top five quarterback right now. Lewis touched upon it, I believe, in the last hour. It's the energy. It's the swag. What he has infused into that team has raised the confidence of this whole team, man. Listen, we all knew he had, you know, all the, you know, the arm and all that, all the physical attributes. The intangibles is what's raising the level of and the profile of the Cincinnati Bengals right now. And, you know, you combine that with the offensive talent that they have in their arsenal, man.
listen, this Bengals team, man, this is not the same old Bengals team, man.
And I know then they lose to the Jets. With, you know, then they lose the to the Jets. Looking,
being the mad back and all that. But listen, Joe Burrow's the real deal.
They lost
get
to the
used
Jets.
To hearing Joe Burrow in the top five because it's not crazy.
He lost to the Jets.
Look,
he's not better than come on, man.
Joe, I mean,
is he better than Joe? Is he better than Herbert? Hang on.
Go ahead.
I think the thing you have to play into this too. He's also coming off injury, right? And Damian's touching on the leadership stuff. And I know to you that's just, you know, it may not be the most important thing. But I remember during camp, players saying Joe's different this year. And my thought was, how much different can he be? He's already has all the tools. He has all that leadership. We saw it at LSU. Everyone talked about that. He's taking a step forward. And Bart, he's just got to get better.
Guess what?
He's still
young.
So
it's Lamar. He's older than Lamar.
How did Lamar come into this?
Because in that division, we don't red dot his ass.
I'll give you the final word. Okay, I get that you don't think he's top five. And we don't have unlimited time, by the way. Top 10?
Top 10. Here you go. I'm going to give you this. Congratulations. You won the battle. But we will win the war. I promise you. Carson Palmer knows what it's all about.
What's the war, Bart?
The war is losing his division and never winning the Super Bowl because the Ravens going to keep him from there. That's what it is. Steve, you know, put the code
never
in.
Never winning
Steve
the Super Bowl.
Put the code in.
Guys, we have to wrap this up. Guys, Bart has to catch his train to Baltimore in a minute, so we'll be right back.
My code still works.
All right, let's turn to college football so Bart can cool off a little bit. Let's talk Alabama, Cincinnati. They square off tomorrow at the Cotton Bowl in the first of the college football playoff games. Now, this matchup has no shortage of NFL talent on the field. With offensive lineman Evan Neal as the number 3 NFL prospect, according to Mel Kiper's Big Board. Now, sticking with the Tide, wideout Jameson Williams is ranked 6 on Mel's Big Board. The Bearcats also have a pair of NFL caliber players, including defensive back Ahmad Gardner and quarterback Desmond Ridder. Najoli Galloway's back with us to talk a little bit about the game. And look, we'll talk about these star players in this matchup. Evan Neal's going to play a big role in protecting Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young in this game. How does Cincinnati stop Bryce Young?
They got to get pressure on him. I do believe in the corners of Cincinnati. You got Bryant and Gardner on the back end, which might be the best tandem of cornerbacks in college football. But there is no such thing as a good corner without a good pass rush. You can't cover forever, especially not the caliber of receivers like Jameson Williams and some of the other guys at Alabama run at these guys. It starts up front. They have to get pressure on Bryce Young the same way that Auburn did, the same way that Texas A&M did, the same way that LSU did. And if you can do that, then that's when those awesome corners come into play. That's when they'll have a chance. If you can make the ball come out quick, those guys on the back end are very talented, and they'll create turnovers for you, but it starts up front. You have to get at Bryce Young.
Yeah, and so that's what the defense has to do with Young and on the defensive side. What does Cincinnati have to do versus the Alabama defense?
Well, obviously it starts with running the football. You know, I think Desmond Ridder is a terrific quarterback and a leader on that football team. But you have Jerome Ford who's run for over 1,400 yards. And we've seen this offense get off the slow starts at certain times during this season, but it begins up front. If they can run the football and make Alabama decide to bring the safety down into the box, it's going to be so much easier to throw the ball. Alabama wants to play a two-deep safety look, a defense in the secondary, and they can only do that if they can stop the run early. Cincinnati has to come out in this game, be physical, prove that they're on the same level of physicality with Alabama in running the football, and then after that, let Desmond Ridder take over this football game, whether it's running or passing.
Yeah, they are going to really have to jump out early, get some points on the board to hold off a really good Alabama team. Can't wait to see this one. Joey Galloway with us from Miami. Appreciate it, my friend. And you know what? It all comes down to this. College football playoff semifinals tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app. Heisman winner Bryce Young and the number 1 Alabama taking on number 4 Cincinnati in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. Then it's Michigan, number 2, against number 3 Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl. The winners will play for the national championship. That's on Monday, January 10th on ESPN. Over to the NBA because we had to tell you about the battle of the night. The star himself, LeBron James, taking on the upcoming star, Ja Morant, the Memphis Grizzlies. Under 5 to play. Lakers up 9.
LeBron hitting that three just casually. Make it happen, 29-23. Closing seconds of the third, Memphis down eight. Ja Morant answering back with his own three. Drilling it right there. He had 30 through three quarters. Just over 6 minutes left in the fourth. Grizzlies up one. Yes. Morant nailing it at the top of the three. Couple plays later, Desmond Bane pushing it in transition to Ja, who nails another three. Dad is hyped. Go, son, Ja Morant. Grizzlies up seven, under 3 minutes to play. LeBron, the deep three. Eight threes on the night. Oldest player to make that many in a game. Lakers down three, but Ja answering back, getting his own rebound, putting it in. 41 points, 6 three-pointers. Grizzlies up five. 17 seconds left. LeBron looking for answers. Moving around right here. You'll watch him here. Almost loses it. Can't find anybody open. And that turnover makes it game. Lakers lose a tough one, 104-99. LeBron had 37, but the Lakers now 17-19 on the season. And at 17-19, a LeBron James-led team has had a losing record through his birthday for just the third time in his career. By the way, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday. And the first time since 2007-2008, the Cavs started 14-17. That squad would go on to finish 45-37 and reach the East semifinals. Now, last hour, Bart Scott told you that he called the Patriots missing the playoffs. Lewis Riddick seemed to take issue with that. I'm going to sort that out. Coming up next.
We have the best way to end your year. Tons of football on New Year's Eve. On ESPN, College Game Day gets you ready for both college football playoff games. On ESPN2, Get Up sets the table for an enormous weekend in the NFL with huge playoff implications. It's a football Friday, wall-to-wall on New Year's Eve. College Game Day on ESPN, Get Up on ESPN2, starting 8 a.m. Eastern.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings. Let's talk more NFL, including the Patriots. They've lost two straight, most recently against the Bills last week. Now, with that division loss, FPI now gives New England only an 11% chance to win the AFC East. 2 weeks ago, the Patriots held the number one spot in the AFC. Now, look at where they are in the standings. Almost on the outside looking in, Dolphins coming up right on them. One behind the Colts are where the Patriots are. FPI does give the Patriots a 95% chance to make the playoffs. However, they clinch a playoff berth this week with a win and a loss by the Raiders or the Dolphins. So we wanted to bring the conversation back with these Patriots because Lewis Riddick, a little while ago, Bart said that he called the Patriots missing the playoffs at the beginning of the season. And I was looking at your face and everything he was saying, you had a different facial expression for. I give the floor to you.
Bart knows I love Bart. He said he has receipts, right? I mean, Bart, you said you got receipts, right? You know there's two more games left to play, right? There's two more games. Who do they play? They play Jacksonville and Miami, right? They play Jacksonville, and then they go down to Miami. And look, I know, I've been on record as saying I'm a Miami fan. I'm a Brian Flores fan, man. You know, Tuanon, whatever they call it down there. You know, all the cult that just loves Tua right now. Look, I'm a Tua fan, too. I just think New England New England wins the last two games of the season. They get on into the playoffs. What happens from there? Look, your concerns are valid. I have some of the same ones about them defensively and whether or not they have enough offensive firepower to deal with the best in the AFC. But you're saying they're not even going to get in. So no, what do you say? You're saying they're going to lose these next – you think they're going to lose to Jacksonville?
No,
is that what you think?
No. What I'm saying is this team wasn't who they
– You said they weren't going to get in.
I thought you said they weren't going to get in.
No, I said – no. I said at the beginning of the season, I told everybody this wasn't a playoff team.
Producers, we may have to cut that sound and run it back.
These are the receipts I want.
The receipts was, listen, I said the Patriots benefit.
You said the Patriots and the Browns aren't going to the playoffs, Bart. You said the Patriots and the Browns won't get in.
I wish we had that little person in the courtroom with the little thing right there.
The court
that
could reporter. Go by. He wants a court reporter. I hope it's in the budget, people.
I said at the beginning of the season, I didn't have the Patriots or the Browns making the playoffs. And we got all excited because they went on this win streak. But it's not about who you play. It's when you play them. They played Tennessee when they didn't have Julio Jones or A.J. Brown. That's the same team that the Jets beat with Derrick Henry. And then they also went and they beat the Cleveland Browns. What I'm saying is this team isn't a good football team. They're not a great football team. They're a team that is well coached and that they're pretty much punching above their weight class. But when it comes down to the postseason, which I think they'll get in, but I said if they would have played Buffalo the first game, they would have lost to Buffalo if the conditions weren't
what they were. Wait. I just have to stop this ship right now. Everybody in the producing room, did he not say that the Patriots were not making the playoffs?
Yeah, he said in the beginning of the season.
Am I going crazy?
No, I said at the beginning of the season.
But then you're still wrong, though.
Them not making the playoffs.
Because they're going to get in.
Yeah, I think they get in, but what I'm saying is we crown them as a team.
We on the show.
English is my second language.
Damian Woody, I got to bring you in on this. Wait, can I bring Damian Woody in on this? Because when he gets that face and starts drinking his cup of coffee, you know he's got deep thoughts.
I'll cut that face off.
Please, save us.
Now I feel like I need to double down.
What is there for me to say right now? I mean, we're talking to the mad backer. You don't know where the mad backer is going to go. He did say the Patriots weren't going to get in the playoffs. I think sometimes when it comes to the Patriots, Bart just goes 100, 0 to 100 in like 3 seconds. Bart, you're my guy, but you did say the Patriots weren't going to make it.
I tell you what, I hope. I hope that Tua Tagovailoa find a way to win this week because I know the Patriots will win. And then it's this game in, is it in South Beach? Oh, yeah, it's in South Beach. Oh, yeah, it's hard to win in South Beach. Yeah, I'm telling you what, man, when you go from 20 degrees to 85 degrees, I hope it comes down to that. And I might mess around and be right. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut with Lewis.
I'll tell you what, that's one thing. Hey, Bart, right there, I'll tell you what, that's one thing I agree with you with. That game, I hope it comes down to that, too. I hope it comes down to the last game of the year between New England and Miami,
then?
Too. I'd like to see that matchup down there for sure. I'm on that one.
Okay. You going to apologize if I'm right? Call me Socrates?
But you were wrong, though.
You gonna call me Blado?
You were wrong though.
You gonna call me Blado?
Diana, please give us some words of wisdom now that we're talking about Plato.
Please, if you're coming to me for wisdom, the show is really down in the dumpster. The whole thing started because Bart and I agreed that we all got a little too high, or at least others on the show were getting really high. We were talking.
They're not who we thought
they literally
were.
Had a segment on here talking about what it would look like between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. That's how excited we are because we know the history of New England, and I think there's still this connection that we all believe that Tom Brady is still there. He's not. It's Mac Jones now. He is a rookie who has not been able to prove that he can carry this offense deep in the playoffs when we know these defenses are going to be bringing it. They have no shot. And the Buffalo Bills, they hope to see the Patriots
again. I'll say this. They clinch a playoff berth this week with win over Jacksonville and a loss by the Raiders or the Dolphins. I think they make the playoffs this weekend. There's a pretty good chance of that.
Come on, Tool.
Now, speaking of this weekend, what's coming up? Actually, tonight, bowl season rolls on with 4 more games on ESPN and the app. But we're featuring this one. Biletnikoff winner Jordan Addison leads number 12 Pittsburgh against number 10 Michigan State in the 53rd annual Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Our coverage starts at 7 Eastern.
So coming up, how often can we say that LeBron James and Russell Westbrook played and neither was the best player on the court? Why the Lakers' dynamic duo was upstaged by one of the NBA's most exciting players. First take after us.